Good afternoon. This is the Chorus Call conference operator. Welcome, and thank you for joining the Isagro as of December 31st, 2016 presentation. As a reminder, all participants are in listen-only mode. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. Should anyone need assistance during the conference call, they may signal an operator by pressing star and zero on their telephone. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Ruggero Gambini, CFO of Isagro. Mr. Gambini, please go ahead.
Thank you. Good morning, everybody. We published yesterday the results for 2016, which were approved by the board. I'm making reference to the presentation, which was rendered available on our website and to the mailing list as well yesterday evening. I would focus my attention starting from page five of this presentation. 2016, like also 2017, in our opinion, should be read in the frame of the results of the three-year period of the previous three-year period, so starting from 2013. That's because for the investors and the people following Isagro from that time, between the end of 2012 and 2013, we changed completely our approach to the exploitation of our intellectual property. At that point of time, the financials of Isagro, especially with reference to the financial situation, were dramatically different from the ones that we have been presenting in the past few years. Until the end of 2012, as a general strategic approach, we were trying and extracting value from our discoveries and therefore from our intellectual property exclusively on a direct basis, meaning trying and maximizing the level of sales by our own and for our own. It is clear that in such a global market environment, giving the small size of Isagro under the point of view of a commercial organization, that kind of strategy proved to be not very much effective. So we changed our approach. Let me put it in this way, introducing in our business the concept of indirect exploitation of intellectual property, deriving from the investment in research, innovation, and discovery, accompanying the direct exploitation, so through direct sales, to the indirect exploitation by attributing rights in terms of licensing contracts to third parties. Associated to those licensing contracts, we have always finalized also mid-long-term supply agreements. All in all, such agreements have been creating the conditions for Isagro to accrue in the year-by-year P&L an income which is represented by the proceeds from licensing, which are reported in yellow at page five, as well as utilizing a mid-term perspective associated to those licensing contracts, also the supply of active ingredients to the licensees. This strategy proved, based on the numbers, to be effective. That's why we have been presenting the results starting from 2014-2015 in comparison with the 2013 ones. What is the picture? Independently from the pluses and minuses having a temporary nature, thus deriving from the year-by-year market conditions, the overall picture is the one reported in the first box on the left from the top, so revenues. The trend is definitely a positive trend. which is also reflected at the EBITDA level. 2016 was affected in terms of, and now I'm commenting more in depth the figures. 2016 were affected in terms of market by a difficult situation in Brazil, particularly in Brazil. The key players reported a decrease in sales in the magnitude of 5%. We are substantially aligned to this picture. There was a 4% decrease in our revenues in 2016, but still high, but still with an overall stock of revenues higher than 2014. So the trend, once again, is positive. 2016 is not the arrival point. 2017 will not be, once again, the arrival point. We already communicated to the market and to investors that we are working for the midterm. Also, given the timings associated to our business, and I'm clearly referring to the time to market for the R&D investments, which is in the range of 8 to 12 years, depending on the kind of product. Coming to the result before taxes, it was substantially aligned to 2016, and the difference, the negative variance in terms of EBITDA between 15 and 16 was substantially compensated at the financial charges level, since Isagro benefited on one side by the positive contribution from the hedging activities, as well as a reduction in the financial charges and commission following the policies finalized by the European Central Bank. In terms of net result, we communicated a profit of 2.7 million. This is not exciting, but considering that we are exactly in the middle of our path towards 2020-2021, I think that to finalize 2.7 million in a difficult year in the middle of our path is for sure a confirmation of the validity of the strategy which was set forth starting from 2013. One comment about the licensing proceeds in 2016. First of all, in the four-year period of 2013-16, Isagro achieved total proceeds from agreements with third parties for 25 million euro. Forgetting for one second this amount in, let me say, as a figure, and concentrating our attention to the meaning of this amount, these proceeds do represent an anticipated payment, a price that third parties were and are willing to pay in order to have access to our intellectual property for the existing and the new products. And based on this right, they are not going to sell the day after, but they are supposed to invest in new registrations associated to the licensing contract for the next 3 to 4 years in order to start benefiting from such licensing contracts after 3 to 4 years. This is very important because this is a direct confirmation of the hypothesis based on which we changed our strategic approach in 2012-2013. This basic hypothesis was and is that the value of our assets that we are in a position to extract directly in terms of cash flows is definitely, how may I say, oversized versus the capacity of Isagro, not capability, the capacity of Isagro to do that. This is fundamental, because once it is proven that there is a hidden value, that Isagro, by means of exclusively direct exploitation, is not in the position to extract, based on that hypothesis, the overall strategic change was based. This is also important vis-à-vis the current evaluation of Isagro stocks in the market, and I'm referring to both ordinary and growth shares. But I will come to that in a minute. First, I'd like to complete the explanation of 2016 financials. Now, jumping to page 7 of the presentation, we recap in a very schematic way the composition of our cash flow and financial situation. Starting from the latter, the overall debt, around slightly below 53 million euro, is well below the value of net working capital at a consolidated level. Since the net working capital associated to the agrochemical industry, utilizing a mid-term perspective, proved to be very, very sound, it is clear that a self-liquidating debt for net working capital is definitely not a problem. As a matter of fact, as Isagro SPA, so the holding company, we have still some 80 million euro of short-term lines for the financing of net working capital, which were deliberated by the banking system and which are there, available for utilization. Of course, we are not going to utilize them. For your information, we run an analysis taking in consideration the figures, the bad debts in the 10-year period from 2006 to 2015, thus including the terrible years of the international financial crisis. The conclusion was that our bad debt, in the average bad debt in that dramatic period, was around 0.3%, meaning even during the most grave, deep financial crisis, we cashed in out of every 100 euro billed 99.7 euro. This is the most evident proof of the soundness of the net working capital associated to the agribusiness. As a matter of fact, the cash flow absorbed by the operations, excluding the net working capital, which at page 7 is reported at 2.9 million euro, represents merely simply the difference between the overall investments of 2016, around 12 million, less the value of the depreciation, 9 million. That means that we generated an additional debt excluding the needings for covering net working capital, exactly equal to the overinvestments, meaning the level of investments versus their cost at P&L. Now, just a couple of comments upon our market capitalization. I will drive your attention to page 10 of the presentation. First of all, we have an equity book value of more than 100 million euro versus a market cap of around less than 50% of this value. This is common, not in our industry, but let me say in the Italian stock exchange market. Point is that if we take a look at the composition of the assets backed by the equity, net fixed assets backed by the equity, you will see that most, if not all, of the single cash generating units, so-called cash generating units, are accrued in our books at their historical cost, while the underlying financial value of the same is definitely a multiple of such a value. What do I mean? That the net asset value of our equity, starting from the assets clearly, is definitely higher than the book value of the equity itself. This is good on one side. This is very bad on the other side. The good part, the good aspect is that actually there is a large room for us to extract a significant incremental value versus the one that we have been extracting so far. The bad news, clearly, is that we are perfectly aware of the fact that the debt by 2020-2021 will be win if Isagro will be in a position through direct exploitation and indirect exploitation to grab, to transfer this underrepresented value in the cash flows and in the P&L. Last comment upon the difference of pricing between ordinary and group shares, pages 21 and 22 of the presentation. In 2014, we issued these so-called growth shares, or Azioni Sviluppo. I see the names of the participants. Most of the gentlemen and madams do know about the nature and features of the growth shares, but for the benefit, for the sake of, for the benefit of the other attendees, growth shares are a new category of shares introduced by Isagro, which were conceived and can be issued exclusively by a company having, already having, a controlling subject. So a company where there is someone already holding the majority of the voting rights of the company. Such growth shares do not bear voting rights in the ordinary general meeting, ordinary assembly, but at the same time, they grant an extra dividend of 20% versus the one eventually deliberated, resolved upon for the ordinary shares. So under, a financial point of view, they are incorporating a higher potential value than the ordinary shares. At the same time, the growth shares in any and every case of compulsory public offer, therefore, meaning when it is material for an investor to hold ordinary shares rather than growth shares, and therefore also in the case whereby the controlling party loses control, less than 50% plus one share, the growth shares automatically, in force of the bylaws, which can't be changed without the approval of the General Assembly of the shareholders, of the bearers of the growth shares. The growth shares in such cases automatically convert into ordinary shares. We were expecting an equal price evaluation by the market, or at least a little premium to growth shares versus ordinary shares, given the frame, considering the frame that I was representing. As a matter of fact, they are currently traded with at least a 20% discount. We tried last year and pay a dividend, a small dividend, in order to prove all the things that I was mentioning before. The effect in the stock market was zero. Therefore, this year we decided not to pay dividend, but to reinvest the 1 million that we distributed last year, and in the forthcoming, in the next year, following the delivery of our business plan objectives, we will clearly reconsider this policy.
Mr. Gambini, are you ready for the Q&A?
Yes.
Okay, so excuse me, this is the Corsco conference operator. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touch-tone telephone. To remove yourself from the question queue, please press star and two. Please pick up the receiver when asking questions. Anyone who has a question may press star and one at this time. The first question is from Henry Hilgert and Mark Webb of Quero. Please go ahead.
Yes, good morning, Mr. Gambini. I wonder whether you can give us a little bit more color on how your business is going in the different geographies and by by product. Help us understand a little bit. You indicated that Brazil was still tough. Could you help us understand how business has been in Italy, has been in the US, and in your other markets, and by product as well, please?
Sure. As far as starting from the geographical areas, Brazil suffered by lower sales versus 2015 in 16 by around 6 million euro, which by and large does represent 100% of the variations of consolidated turnover in 16 versus 15. Then, of course, there are other the pluses and minuses. In particular, in North America, there was a slight decrease in sales by some 2 million, which we are expecting to fully recover in 2017. This was due partially to bad adverse climatic conditions in the first three quarters in the U.S. Then the situation there changed and improved during the fourth quarter. In Brazil, we are still expecting a not fully positive situation, though I was noticing by the weather forecast that it is raining in some important parts of Brazil now, but the campaign in Brazil will start between the second and the third quarter, so it is still too early to judge. For Brazil particularly, we are simply projecting for 17 a substantial maintenance of the level of sales of 16, thus keeping the negative variance I was mentioning before of 6 million euro versus 15. As far as Italy is concerned, Italy was a very important driver to our top line growth in 2015 versus 14. In 15 versus 14, the increase was around 6 million. In 16 versus 15, we lose 2.5 million in terms of sales, and we are currently projecting to keep this level substantially stable also in 17. As far as the other European countries, and I'm including both Western and East Europe, are concerned, we have to say that following the strategy of obtaining new registrations, particularly for the Eastern European countries, the top line benefited of a constant growth from 2013-14 on. In particular, we passed from the around 30 million in Europe in 14 to 35-36 in 15 and close to 40 million in 16. For 2017, we are currently assuming to slightly increase this level of sales. As far as the Asian countries are concerned, and here I'm making reference to the Indian market, which for us is definitely important, but also to the Southeast Asian markets, particularly all the Singapore area, but also including China. Also in this case, starting from 2014, following the development of new registration, as well as the constant and growing efforts in increasing our direct local presences, we benefited of the constant growth. For instance, in South Asia, meaning all the India region, we passed from the 30 million euro turnover in 14 to 36 in 15 to 37 in 16, and we are currently projecting to keep this level of sales stable in 17. As far as the East Asia and Australia, New Zealand countries, also in that case there was a constant growth. In such a case, we are not projecting a stability, but a slight increase also in 17. So, summarizing, consolidation in all areas other than in South America and North America, with an increase in the European countries excluding Italy and in Southeast Asia.
Can you just explain why sales are actually down 2.5 million in Italy, and you expect them to stay down this year? Is the distribution agreement with your American partner sort of not working in Italy? I mean, you explained you had a high base, but one was sort of half hoping that your business in Italy would be growing with this this distribution agreement.
Yes, that's definitely correct. As a matter of fact, considering the starting point of 2014, but the situation is even better if confirmed with 13, when we established the alliance with Gawan, to which you are making reference. There was an increase, as a matter of fact, by more than 20% in our sales in Italy. Please do consider that Italy is definitely a very consolidated and mature market, where it is very difficult, giving also the quality of the players, of the well-established players in the country, to grab new market spaces. Gawan in Italy started their operations not long ago, and they are growing, as a matter of fact, based on our product. So this 20% increase in the three-year period, 14-16, is included in the figures. And considering, once again, it was achieved in a mature, consolidated market, I think it is a good and welcome contribution. Point is that in 2015, there was a very high level of sell-in, and during the last part of the year, there were some adverse climatic conditions in Italy. There was a stock at year end, which was then consumed during 16, where also the purchases started again. So, for prudential reason, and I would remark this, for prudential reason, we are currently projecting to keep this level of sales stable in 2017. Then, if something more will come, for which thing we are working, of course, it will be the most welcome. But in order to provide you with, let me say, a prudential picture also of 2017, going a bit beyond your direct question, I'd say I would put the situation in that way.
And so by product area, which products are doing well, which products are doing less well?
Tetraconazole suffered particularly. Because tetraconazole, the markets, the key markets for tetraconazole are, on top of Italy, of course, for historical reasons, are mainly the Americas. And clearly, like I was mentioning before, having suffered lower sales, particularly in Brazil and the U.S. in 16 versus 15, it is clear that tetraconazole was directly affected, since it represents 80% of our sales in those areas. It was directly affected by that market situation. It is then coming to copper products. It is interesting to note that there was a stable growth of the copper-based products based on the launch of new registration containing a lower degree of active ingredient, in particular the Iron new formulation, from 14 till 16. There was a 12% increase in the three-year period. Once again, copper is a very mature and consolidated market, so there you could have the target, the objective of increasing sales by two ways, or introducing new formulations for which you have to invest. And we did it from 2010 till 2014, and or to grab new distribution contracts with new partners. For your information, starting from 2017, we will start direct sales activities in Brazil. We have for tetraconazole and also copper. We have been operating in Brazil since 2003. Then in 2006, we bought a 50% participation stake in a huge company, a distributing company in Brazil, with a turnover of, at that point of time, $100 million, $110 million. We divested that participation with a gain in 2011 in order to finance the prosecution of our investment programs regardless of the international financial crisis. And we, at that point of time, we told to ourselves and we communicated to the market, so far, given the financial picture, the external financial picture, we do not have enough strength, financial strength, to finance a local networking capital. Now we have that strength, and we have new products, we have new formulations, particularly new registrations for copper-based products. And so we started to make this experiment in 2017. This will, in our forecast, will contribute to the recovery of sales of tetraconazole and copper specifically. Then the last category of product I would comment is represented by the biosolutions. As a matter of fact, the biosolutions were accounting around 12 million euro in 14 of sales, so a very limited amount. They reached around 18 million in 16, and we are projecting to go well above 20 million in 17. This is due mainly to the development of sales of our new biofumigant in the U.S. market, which was eventually approved as a biofumigant last year, so we started sales, and for which we are expecting a very important registration in the very important Californian market, which, in our opinion, will contribute to boost the sales of this product, particularly from 19 on.
Great, thank you very much.
As a reminder, if you wish to register for a question, please press star and one on your telephone. For any further questions, please press star and one on your telephone. There is a follow-up from Mr. Hilgert and Mr. Webb from Quero. Please go ahead.
Hello, thank you for taking my question. It's Henry Hilgert. I just had a little question on your cash flow. I mean, you went through the working capital slide, and I understand that you feel that your debt finances your working capital, but it would be useful to understand, given the fact that you were expecting a tough year, given that it was a tough year for the industry, how you went through trying to adjust your working capital, and also whether you have any free cash flow targets internally or not?
Sure. You are definitely right. The increase in net working capital was marked in 2015. Because in 2015, if you remember, we increased our debt by some 17 million euro, out of which 17.5, 18 million were represented by increase of net working capital. But the other way around, generating a small cash from the operations. At that point of time, we decided to increase our net working capital in terms of inventory in order to reestablish, given the financial availabilities that we have and the very, very low cost of money, at that point of time and also in 16, and I hope also, hopefully, we will see the Mario Draghi decisions in 2017. At that point of time, we decided to avoid any kind of risk of stock breakup by financing ourselves at a very low cost of money by increasing our inventory assets. At the same, that was done in 2015, not in 2016. Then, and if you look at the numbers, you will notice that starting from 2015, the difference between inventory and the trade payables increased very, very much. So we paid regularly our suppliers, keeping as a strategic decision an extra bulk of inventory to be necessarily financed by debt. We started reducing that inventory in 2016, as you will notice at page 7. The point is that, given the fact that in the second part of the year we shut down our manufacturing plants in Italy, Bussi and Aprilia, where we respectively synthesize tetraconazole active ingredient and formulate tetraconazole as well as the other product formulations, we had to concentrate the new supplies in the first part of the year, thus paying the suppliers well before the year end. That's why at page 7, when we reported the 6 million increase of net working capital for the decrease of trade payables, we also reported that comment supply chain, different supply chain timing versus 2015. It is definitely possible these to be rebounded in 2017. Now, in terms of target of cash flows, if you agree or if you don't mind, I would concentrate the answer focusing on the cash flow excluding variations of net working capital, which are depending by, let me say, market situations, specific decision, etc. Our target is definitely to generate a positive cash flow. For your information, since, like I was mentioning before, the overall value of investment has been in 16-12 million, while the level of rounded up figures, while the level of depreciation was around 9 million, it is clear that we have a balance of 3 million to be still to be self-financed by the ordinary operations, by the business operations, in order to reach break-even. This is the first objective. I don't think it will be reached in 2017. I think in 2017 we will approach to that break even. It will very, very much depend on the level of on the normalizations of market conditions in Brazil and the United States, as you may imagine, as well as the eventual finalization of the of new licensing contracts, the negotiations of which are currently ongoing. Starting from 2018, the curves will be inverted, meaning all conditions being equal, considering the picture that we have today, we will be in a position to invert this trend. Since our target in terms of sales by 2021 is around 200 million euros, was marking an increase by some 40-50 million euros versus 16. Carrying with them an incremental margin of around 15 to 20 million, less 5 million of incremental costs, I think that we could make reasonably reference to an incremental bulk of net of P&L before tax results before taxes and the cash flow around 12 to 15 million, 10 to 15 million excluding taxes. But by 2021, we are currently projecting the generation of a cash flow, a free cash flow in that order of magnitude.
So your targets are based on operating cash flow, and you take operating cash flow before taxes.
After taxes, of course. I was mentioning after taxes.
It's just to me it would make a lot of sense, since the decisions on inventory and payables are strategic ones. It would make a lot of sense to have targets that take into account net working capital effects.
You are definitely right. Clearly, we have internal targets. We decided not to communicate the specific figures, but for net working capital, the quarter by quarter decisions or fine tuning of the strategies of supply, of decisions, specific decision of decisions of supply, do depend by the evolution of the market picture. But once again, focusing our attention to the cash flow excluding the free cash flow excluding network variations of net working capital. I was mentioning before this increase, this forecasted increase in the midterms of sales by 50 million, carrying on an increase in margins by some 20 million, less incremental fixed costs for the development of commercial organization by some 5 million, we arrive to a 15 million increase in EBITDA. You can keep away the taxes for around one third, so around 5 million. Today the tax rate is higher for the fiscal mix. In particular, we have a company in the U.S. losing money because we are hiring new people for the direct sales activity while not accruing in the books anticipated taxes. Therefore, the current tax rate is higher, but a normalized tax rate can't be higher than 30-32%, so around one third. So out of a 15 million of EBITDA increase, we could easily, as of today, in the midterm forecast a positive increase in the net result in the order of magnitude of 10 million, at least 10 million. These will be reflected also a parity of conditions in the cash flow. So clearly it is a value after taxes.
Okay. And just maybe a question on a completely different topic, but you've talked about the markets as a whole and it's been a difficult year for everyone, but how has competition reacted to the markets and what have you felt in that respect?
What do you mean? On this respect, how did competition react?
Well, I mean, are you finding it more difficult to operate in places like Brazil, increasingly difficult, or do you feel that we're reaching a stage where things are getting to the bottom, and then things will get better? Are you coming into more competition in the region, less competition? How does it feel?
I see. First of all, the bottom of competition is reached when you have zero. Of course, as of today, we still have some 6 million euro of sales in Brazil. So, as far as Isagro is concerned, we reached the bottom with regards in comparison to the previous year. In terms of the market, it will depend. It will depend. And then clearly I'm referring to the overall market value in Brazil, accounting for some 18-20% of the overall world market. So around, last year was around 8 to 9 billion, billion dollars, excluding the seeds business. So I'm just making reference to the purely crop protection products. You see, I think that as of today in Brazil, the situation could be considered as a sort of consolidated situation. Despite that, it is meaning that the big players are there and the market positions are consolidated. A number of Chinese and Indian players entered that market in the last 2 years, getting some market spaces, which in relevant terms are not that big. In absolute terms, if compared to the level of turnover of Isagro, are important. For instance, an Indian company, the name of which I prefer not to mention, we have information that achieved the level of sales of $200 million in Brazil last year in 16, doubling the level of sales turnover. It is clear that €100 million euro in a market worth $8 billion, $9 billion in relevant terms, like I was mentioning before, is not a huge number. In absolute terms, is a signal. Even if you are a small player having a good product, you could have the ambition of getting for yourself spaces in some market niche. In terms of competition, in terms of prices and volumes, Brazil is the first producer of soybean in particular, but the so-called first sector, meaning agriculture, is very, very important in terms of contribution to their national GDP. As a matter of fact, the level of production of crops was dramatically affected in the last two-year period, so 15 and 16, by two items. The first one is the financial situation pertaining Brazil, specific financial situation, with increasing financial charges, cost of money, and a liquidity crunch following the economic and financial crisis of the country, on one side. Since the Brazilian growers are very much leveraged, it is clear that within such a frame, it is difficult for them to get money, to get them at a good price, and then when they go and approach the producers of crop protection products, it is clear that they try and express, let me put it in this way, pressures on selling prices. In terms of volumes, volumes are very much linked in such a growing country for agriculture like Brazil to the climatic conditions, meaning to the volume of productions of the underlying crops, as well as to the overall prices of commodities in the international financial markets. If you see the graph of commodity prices index over the last 4 to 5 years, so you will see a recovery, signals of recovery of in such index, but still far from the maximums, from the tops that were reached some 5 years ago. So depending on, final answer, depending on the evolution of climatic conditions in Brazil, affecting volumes and prices, the evolution of the financial crisis in Brazil affecting mainly prices, and the evolution of the commodity prices affecting mainly crop protection product prices, it will be possible to appreciate a recovery of the Brazilian market or a further decrease of the Brazilian market. So far, we are projecting a stability for 2017. The answer will come between the second quarter and the third quarter, when we will be collecting the first orders.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Once again, if you wish to register for a question, please press star and one on your telephone. For any further questions, please press star and one on your telephone. Mr. Gambini, there are no more questions registered at this time.
Thank you very much, and we will talk in occasion of the next conference call.